We left off last time when the Gemara and Daf Yud Tet to the base, a little more than halfway down at the letters Tafshin Tashma. And the Gemara here is attempting to prove that Kavod HaBrios, that human dignity, personal dignity, is docha, alos aseh shebetorah in effect. And the original case again we dealt with was Kilayim. Person is walking in the shuk and all of a sudden discovers, oops, Sin shot me, check my jacket. Whatever makes up a clothing or the label says linen and wool. And I say, oh, okay, I'm wearing shatnez. So the Gemara had said, you have to strip it off. That was what Rav had said, you strip off the client, even though it's embarrassing. And then the Gemara then spoke about, tumah, kohen being metame to greet a melech. And the Gemara said that you see a kohen you can be metame violate a losach. And the Gemara's answer was it was only by tumah the rabbanon. That's where we left off last time. So now the Gemara quotes a braisa that says the following: Toshma gadol kavod habrios shadocha es losach shebetorah. Now the braisa is ambiguous. In other words, it says kavod habrios is great because it is docha losach shebetorah. Now one could read this, and maybe the Gemara, in a sense, maybe I'm not sure is reading it this way, but it's docha every losach shebetorah, probably not. But it's Zocha Eilat Los Aseh Shebetorah. So the Gemara says, but if you are correct about the Kalayim Rav, V'amai Lema In Chochma V'in Tzuna V'in Eitzel Neged Hashem, you should say that when it comes to Chil Hashem, when it comes to a violation of the Ribbono Shel Olam's prohibition, there's no Chochmas, right? The Torah says don't do it, you don't do it, it doesn't matter in effect what the cost is. It's embarrassing. Okay, that's unfortunate. So the Gemara quotes an answer, Shirgama Ram Bar Shava Kame de Rav Kahana, Vilav de Lo Sasser. So Ram Bar Shava interpreted this brisa in the presence of Rav Kahana that it's referring to a very specific Lo Sasser, namely the prohibition of Lo Sasser min Hadavara Sheyagidu Lecha Yamin Usmo. The shorthand reference is Lo Sasser. What is Lo Sasser? So the lav itself is found in Parsha Shoftim in the first Aliyah, and it speaks about the situation of Ki Yipalei Mimcha Davar La Mishpat. You don't know what the halacha is, and Vein Dom L'Dom, Vein Din L'Din, Vein Nega L'Nega, in all areas of halacha, V'kantove Alisa L'makom HaShe'yipar Yimchar Hashem L'kechabot. You get up, you go to Yerushalayim, you go ask a shayla. And the Sanhedrin gives you an answer. They give you an answer. And the Torah says that when they give you an answer, lo sasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin usmal. Before that, the Torah says, v'asisa al pi hadavar sheyagidu lecha min hamakom ahu, v'shamarta lasos k'chol hasher yaruch. So the Torah says that you go and ask the Sanhedrin, what is the halacha here? They tell you this is the halacha. You're obligated to follow that. And you're not only obligated, v'asisa al pi hadavar sheyagidu lecha, you should do on the basis of that which they tell you. But in the next pasuk, lo sasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin usmal. You shouldn't depart either to the right or to the left from whatever they tell you. So that lo sasur is a law. So Rav Bar Shava says that's what it's talking about here. Flav de lo sasur. Now, the Gemara, remember the Braisa had described the law as what? Lo sase shebitola. Sounds like it's a Torah law. Now, Lo Sasser is written in the Torah, but the response to Rav Bar Shava's comment was Achichu Ale. They laughed at him. It's not really nice to do that. You come up with a terrorist. We generally discourage that as a Rebbe. When someone asks a bad question, it gives a bad answer, you try to encourage them. Instead, they laughed at him. Achichu Ale. They laughed. Why did they laugh? They said, Lav the Lo Sasser, Daraisi. It's the Rabbanon. You would say it's maybe an Asmachta or something like that. So Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana responded to the Talmidim who were laughing. He said, Gavra Rabba Amar Milsa, Lo Tachichwala. When someone who is a great stature, Rav Bar Shava, says something, you shouldn't laugh. You should realize that he probably understood what he was saying and that the deficiency is in you. You don't understand what he said. He says, "Kol mili de rabbanon asmechinu alav de lo sasser umishum kvodo sharu rabbanon." And this is a really, really, really important line, as I want to discuss this morning. And in a moment, I will share a source sheet with you. But in the meantime, just to analyze the Gemara itself. Rav Kahana responds and says that all the Rabbanans, kol mine the Rabbanan, they were masmich, they sort of made an asmachta to lo sasra. In other words, something that's not deoraisa, something that's not scriptural in its worth, they sort of attached it, they made an asmachta of lo sasra. And because it's only the Rabbanan, because Din and the Rabbanan are only the Rabbanan, and it's not logical, because all of these things, kol mine the Rabbanan, are only an asmachta. The Rabbanan had the power to say, you know what? When there's a situation of kavod habrios, when human dignity is at stake, we are not going to be gozer. So for example, going back to the previous example, and the Rishonim note this, if you're dealing with something that's only shatnez the Rabbanan, the oraisa, it's not kilayim, it's not shatnez, but it's some situation where the chachamim were gozer, they declared that this is kilayim in the Rabbanan. In such a case, if you work it, if you open, look at the label on your thing, and it says, the oraisa shatnez is free, but it has the Rabbanon in it. You can wait till you get home to take it off. Mine does say shatnez free garment. It doesn't say anything about the oraisa the Rabbanon. But bottom line is, if it were only nisa the Rabbanon, then the Chachamim might have been mochel on the din the Rabbanon, because it's only the Rabbanon. Because of kavod habrios, mishum kvodo, shor Rabbanon, the Rabbanon permitted it. So, but when the Braisa says, lo sase shebetorah, it's a reference to Lo Sasur, which is the asmachta for all dinim the Rabban. Now, when you read this line, and this point I think will not be disputed, the first aspect, the implication of the Gemara is that Lo Sasur is an Issa d'oraisa, but that Gezeros the Rabbanon are not midoraisa. Gezeros mid Rabbanon is asmachenu on Lo Sasur. When you make an asmachta, normally the Lo Sase has one meaning, and yet, the Chachamim attach another meaning to it, which really isn't mid the Oraisa. It's only mid the Rabbanan. And we call this an Asmachta. It's like it's a Din Rabbanan, it kind of leans on the Pasuk Oraisa. But it's only on the Din Oraisa, but it's only mid the Rabbanan. So the implication of this Gemara, as we'll see in a moment in the Ramban's comment, is that there is a Din Oraisa, there is a prohibition in the Oraisa of Lo Sasur, but Mile de Rabbanon, things that are the Rabbanon, and we have to explore this a little bit, are only an asmachta. They are not actually a violation of lo sasur min haTorah. The question then is, what exactly does lo sasur mean? So here, I'm going to share on screen a document. It is the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. I apologize because there were only those copies do not have line numbering. They're the same copies, but I did realize for everybody online, it would work much better. Probably always works better if you get words the number of the line. So what I'm presenting here is the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam and the Ramban's comments. Just a word or two of introduction. The Rambam, after he wrote the Perush HaMishnayos, his commentary on the Mishnah, at some point he decided to write the Mishnah Torah. The introduction to the Mishnah Torah was actually the Sefer HaMitzvos. I mean, there's a very famous introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvos, to the Mishnah Torah that the Rambam wrote, his Hakdama Mishnah Torah. But his precursor work to writing the Mishnah Torah was the Sefer HaMitzvos. And he explains in his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvos, which is not here, that what he's interested in doing in the Mishnah Torah, which is only writing the bottom line halacha, not rejected opinions, not what we call shas levitaria, the give and take, the questions, the answers, just the bottom line. But the Rambam was writing the Sefer HaMitzvos to make sure by enumerating all the mitzvos, he would make sure he didn't forget to write anything in the Mishnah Torah, to write about anything. So the Rambam actually wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. He then wrote a Kitzur Minyan HaMitzvos, which is, the Sefer HaMitzvos is written in Arabic. The Kitzur Minyan HaMitzvos is right at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. It's like really brief one-liners, that's already Hebrew. And an introduction of each Sefer in the Mishnah Torah, you know, Hilchos Kriyashma, Hilchos Tvila, Ishus. He always at the beginning, the heading tells you the ases, the positive commandments, and the los ases that are going to appear in those halachos. So he's really got sort of three times he enumerates the mitzvahs, but his purpose was so that he wouldn't forget anything. The basis of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rama was not the first one to write a Sefer Mitzvahs. There was one prominent Sefer Mitzvahs that was written before the Rambam, which was by the Halachos Gedolos, maybe two, Halachos Gedolos, and then I think Sadegon also wrote a poem incorporating the 613 Mitzvahs. The enterprise of writing Sefer HaMitzvahs, for the most part, was premised on the idea that there are 613 Mitzvahs in the Torah. Are there actually 613 Mitzvahs in the Torah? Well, according to everybody, it all depends on how you count. There is a medrash, there's an iconic comment at the end of Maseches Machos. I think Rav Simlai says that there were Taryag Mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Somebody explains that Torah and Gematria is 611, and Anochi and Lo Yieh, Moshe Rabbeinu heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so Torah Tzivalon Moshe. Moshe gave us 611 Mitzvahs, because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the first two Mitzvahs, that's 613. There are many different places in Shas where the number comes up. The Ramban, interestingly enough, the Ramban wrote Hasagos to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. He wrote critical notes where he disagreed with the Rambam on certain things. And one of the things the Ramban does, and the first thing when he first starts writing, the Ramban questions the entire premise of there being 613 Mitzvahs. And he says, does everybody really agree to this? Or is this just Rav Simlai's idea? Because he points out that many times in Shas, the Gemara will record a machlokas. Let's say there are three psukim where Rabbi Akiva says it's a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yishmael says it's an option, it's a rishus. You don't have to do it. So he says, you don't find the chas anywhere, but the Gemara says, okay, now that Rabbi Yishmael says that these three things aren't mitzvahs, where does he get the other three mitzvahs? Because he's got to get the 613. So the Ramban has a somewhat lengthy discussion about this, and he concludes it's possible that not everybody agrees, but we're going to work with the assumption that we're starting with 613, and maybe because it's so obvious to the Gemara that if Rabbi Yishmael lost three here, he gained three somewhere else, the Gemara just doesn't bother to ask. But bottom line is, we're going to engage in the idea that we have to count 613 mitzvahs. But obviously, there are more than 613 dinim that are min haTorah. The question is, how do you count something? You count that as multiple mitzvahs, do you count that as one mitzvah? And this preoccupies the Rambam a lot. Now, the Rambam begins his Sefer HaMitzvahs with 14 sharashim, 14 roots, 14 basic principles of how you count mitzvahs. Now, these were written to a great extent, I would say polemically or in response to things that the Baha'i did, many of them, that the Rambam wasn't happy about, that he thought was wrong. So the Rambam wrote 14 Sharashim, and then he counts the 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs Aseh, 365 mitzvahs Los Aseh, because you have that in the Midrashim. There's supposed to be 248 bones, 365 gidin, which are, I don't know, tendons, ligaments, 248 bones is actually modern human beings in the 21st century do not have 248 bones. They have to make a little less than that. The Mishnah in Olos does actually count them. It lays it out so you can see. But be that as it may, so the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the first Shorash, means the first thing he writes after his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he goes after the Bahag with the following statement. The Rambam says, it's line 2 in the printout, HaShorash HaRishon She'in Ro'oi Limnos bichlal hazeh mitzvos shehem midrabbanan. The Rambam says that you don't count the rabbanans in the 650 mitzvahs. Now, to most of us, that would seem like, yeah, that's pretty obvious, because we're talking about the 613 mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. And take something like Mikra Megillah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give us the mitzvah Mikra Megillah unless he, in order to done that, he would have had to go out of time, space machine, and travel through time hundreds and hundreds of years later to witness the story of Purim, and then tell us, yes, you should write Megillah Esther, and then you should read it and celebrate Purim. So obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give us the mitzvah, Mikra Megillah. So the Rambam says, "Daki zehu inyan lo haya roi laora lav lebiuro." This should not have been necessary to state. Ki acher shahaya l'shon haTalmud sheish meos shlosh etzrei mitzvot nemru lo leMoshe b'Sinai. The Gemara's language is 613 mitzvahs were given to Moshe at Sinai. Ich nomar b'davar shehu midrabanan shehu mechlal aminyan. How could you possibly say that something that's midrabanan is part of the 613? Aval he'ironu olav, we're commenting, says the Rambam, v'mnei she'ta'u bo rabin, because many have made an error, translated Bahag. Umanu, near Hanukkah, they count the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. Umikra Megillah, reading the Megillah, Bechla Mitzvah Saseh, V'chein, he also counted, Mea Brachos B'choyom. There is an idea that a person is supposed to try to make 100 brachos every day. It's if you daven three times a day, it's not so difficult to reach. Shabbos is a little challenging. But there's a mitzvah midrabanan. I think the Gemara says David HaMelech saw that 100 people were dying every day, and so he made it that kind of 100 brachos. Okay. Ma Hashem Elokech Hashonim, ma, don't read it ma, read it as mea. 100 brachos. Sidin the Rabbanon. So the Baha'i counts it. V'dichum Avelim, u'bikur cholim, u'kvuras nesim, v'halbasha sarumim. So these four things, which are all part of the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, he counted them as four separate mitzvahs, and the Rambam is going to say it's the Rabbanon. That's a longer discussion than after now. V'chishuv, v'kufos, and calculating the molad, calculating the calendar. U'shmona sayom, ligbar v'hemes halal. The 18 days of the year that you say halal shalom. The 18 days are in Eretz Yisrael, 21 in Chutzlaret, first day of Pesach, first day of Shuas, 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah. Right? Of which, of course, so the Rambam says, Hallel's the Rabbanon, and Chanukah is also the Rabbanon. V'histakel mimisha yishma l'shonam, nemru lo l'moshe misinai. Look, think about it. It says, nemru l'moshe misinai, v'yimne kriyas ha-hallel, he counts reading Hallel, Sheshibach bo David alav Hashalom of Kel Yisala, Shetziva bo Moshe. David was the one who composed Halal, according to the rest of the Rambam. David wrote Sefer Tehillim. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu command us to read Mizmar Kufir Gimel or Kufir Ches? That, by the way, is not such a question. That's an more easily answered question. But nonetheless, the Yimne Ner Chanukah, you count Ner Chanukah Shekavu Chachamim b'Bayisheni. The Chachamim only instituted Neres Chanukah in the Second Temple period. Something like, I don't know, 11, 12, 1300 years after Matan Torah. And the Chay Mikra Megillah was early by Yishen. Omnam, Hayos Moshe Nemelo B'tzinai She'etzavenu. Could anybody possibly say that Moshe was commanded at Sinai, that God commanded him, Ki Tishayiyah V'achres Ha'mamachtenu, that when it will come in future days, V'yikra Lanu Im Hayavonim Kach V'kach. If one day the Torah commanded what God told Moshe, that one day, should the Jewish people encounter the Greeks, and these things happen, they have a war with them, and the miracle of the Pach Hashem, that Yishayev Lanu Shenalik Ner Chanukah, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, that one of the mitzvahs is, if one day in the future, the Greeks should persecute the Jewish people, and the Jewish people should survive the persecution, and the miracle should happen, then you should light Ner Chanukah. Hine eini roesh echad yidmazeh osheyalah leiv mashafah. The Rambam says, I can't imagine anybody, I'll add, in their right mind could possibly think such a thing. So why did the Baha'i do this, says the Rambam? So we make a bracha, which is a strange thing. The Gemara notes this. We perform commandments that are only rabbinic in nature. We perform mitzvahs to Rabbanah. And we make a bracha on some of them. We say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvah savitz ivanu, who sanctified us with his commandments, and he commanded us to do the following. What do you mean? The Gemara says, heichon sivanu. So he quotes. So the Gemara says, u'she'ila ha-talmud, heichon sivanu. The Gemara in Bama Matrikin asks, where did God command us to light your Chanukah? V'amru, and the Gemara's answer, one answer, is mi lo sasser. So it said, lo sasser min hadavar she'agidu l'chayim in small. So that's the basis the Rambam is assuming for the obligation to follow commandments that are rabbinic in nature. In other words, imagine the boy or the girl in yeshiva high school class, and the Rebbe tells them you have to light Ner Chanukah. And the boy says, why? And he says, because the Gemara says so. Well, why should we listen to the Gemara? Well, you know, if you tell me we should listen to God and the Torah, I understand. But why should we listen to the Gemara? Especially not Torah Shabbat Peh, but did the Rabbanan. Why should I listen to the Rabbi? The answer is because the Torah says lo sasser min adavar she'agid l'chayim nesmo. So the Rambam says if that's why you want to count Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah, in mitam zeh manu osam, if that's the case, you want to count things that are the Rabbanan as mitzvahs of the Taryag mitzvahs, of the 613 mitzvahs, because it's lo sasser, and you count Mikra Megillah, and you count Ner Chanukah, and you count Halal, then if that's the case, hinei ro'i she'imnu kol davar shumi the Rabbanan. Everything that's midrabbanan, every mitzvah of the Rabbanan, you should count. Ki kol ma she'amru chachamim la'aso. So everything the chachamim commanded us to do, amitzas aseh. V'chol ma she'hishiru mimenu. Everything they prohibited us from doing, alos aseh, the rabbanon. Kivar tziva Moshe, suva Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai, she'yitzavenu l'kaimo. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded at Sinai to command us to fulfill it. V'amro, that's what the Torah says, al pi ha-Torah asher yarucha, whatever the Sanhedrin tells you, you should do. And the next part is los asur. V'hizi ranu me'avor b'davar mikoma shetiknu ogasu. And then the Torah says not to violate anything they decreed. V'amar los asur me'adavar sheyagidu l'chayim enusom. So the Rambam suggests that what misled the Bahad into counting mitzvahs the Rabbanon is the fact that the Gemara asked, how can you make a bracha on mitzvahs to Rabbanon of asher kidishanim to savet tzivanu, v'heichon tzivanu? And the answer is, lo sasur. So you see that you count it as a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's how you can say v'tzivanu. So the Rambam says if that's the case, v'hatema, v'ema manu mitzvahs aseh sheim ed Rabbanon k'moshu zacharnu, v'lo manu ga mitzvahs lo aseh sheim ed Rabbanon. How come you only count? How come Bahag only has mitzvahs aseh Rabbanon? He doesn't have any lavin Rabbanon. And the Rambam cites as an example, we have something that is known as shnios la'arayis. The Torah prohibits marrying certain relatives, and then the Chachamim added on a whole series of relatives. And every single prohibition the Torah gives us of an erva, of a prohibited relationship, someone you cannot have a relationship with, someone you can't marry, everyone is counted as a separate lo sasur. So why don't you count every single shnia de rabbanon, every single of the shnios la'arayis, count every single one as a lo sasur, because it's lo sasur. That's what the Rambam says. Ubichlal, the Rambam says, im nimne kol aseid rabbanon v'chol los aseid rabbanon. If you say you tell me, maybe we should. If that's the case, he has a ola la'alofim rabbanon. It's going to be thousands of mitzvahs. It's no longer going to be karyad. You're going to have to add zeros at the end. V'zed davar mavua. This is obvious with the Rambam. V'haklal ki kol ma shehud rabbanon lo yimone bichlal karyad mitzvah. If anything that's Rabbanon does not include in the Tariyah Mitzvahs, ki aklal hazeh hu kulo kosev ba-Torah, the 613 Mitzvahs are things that are written in the Torah, ein bo davar the Rabbanon kemoshe nevar. Nothing that's Rabbanon should be counted in 613. But then he says further, v'omnam hayosam monim tzasa dvarim shenid Rabbanon, v'ozvin tzasam v'bechira mehem, the fact that the Baha'i counts some and doesn't count others, he said, something that you cannot accept under any circumstances, regardless of who said it. Okay. So the Rambam says, we've already explained this principle and the proof to it. No person should have any doubts about it. So the Ramban has some issues, although maybe not with the general thrust. And the Ramban, after giving his own introduction, as I mentioned before, talking about, we really accept that there are 613 mitzvahs. So now he's decided to go along with it. And he says the following. V'hinei b'kan, this is now line 21. That's Sagas HaRamban. V'hinei b'kan, hevi osanu.
Rabbi, you have to pull up your screen a little bit, because we Thank on the video can't see.
I remembered that earlier, but hold on. I got to just mouse that I can't see. Okay, here we go. And then when I fail to scroll it, you know, in a moment again, you'll just remind me. Okay. So v'nei b'kan hevi osanu meshech ha'inyan. Meshech ha'inyan means what we call derech agav. It's incidental. In other words, this is not what the Rambam was writing about. The Rambam's focus wasn't on defining the exact parameters of los sasur. The Rambam assumes that every gzeira de rabbanon, every mitzvah saseh de rabbanon, any positive, every negative commandment that's added mid rabbanon, is included as part of the violation of part of los sasur. If the Chachamim said not to climb a tree on Shabbos, if I climb a tree, I violate an issur d'oraisa of los sasur. Right? It's a rabbinic prohibition because the rabbis prohibited, I violated los sasur. So that was not the Rambam's main point. His point was to say Rabbanans don't count here because we say nemar lo shebesina. But the Ramban says I have got an issue. He says, that which the Rambam makes us wonder. Who is that Sal Sabur? He thinks, sheyesh bichlal lav de lo sasur, kol ma shehu mi debrei chachamim. all that which is mizrabana. Bein shehei mitzvos, whether they're positive commandments, kigon, mikra megillah, ner chanukah, o shehem in atakanos v'hasayodim, or if they're from rabbinic prohibitions. Kigon, besar of the chalat, right? Not eating chicken cooked in milk. It's only mizrabanan. Ushnios la'arayas, and these prohibitions, prohibited relations, which are only mizrabanan. So he thinks that every one of these, bein shehu b'kum v'asleh, kigon shalos tfilos b'chayom, davening three times a day, umei abrachos, and making 100 brachos a day, the lulav shiva shiva gulun, taking the lulav and esrog, the aramim, all 7 days of circus outside of the Beit HaMikdash, ubein shehin b'losaseh, kigon, tosha mishum shvus b'shabes b'yom tov, anything that's midrabanan, a prohibition midrabanan on Shabbos b'yom tov, v'chein yom tov sheni bagola, the most favorite practice, the most beloved practice of Jews in the diaspora. Yom Tov Sheni, which is the Rabbanah. V'tishibar. Koma sheyeser oso atalmud. O yitzave olav. Anything that the Gemara prohibits or commands us to do. She'anachnu mushorim lehisnahi kidivrehem. We are warned and bound to follow the words of the sages. Milav delosasim. It's all in the category of losasim. So the Ramban says, in line 26, Zihine harav bone choma gavoa saviv le divrei chachanim. The Rambam has built a very big wall, for wall of protection, around the words and the commands of the sages. Aval hi kiferet snofel nevav choman nisgava. Asher pison lefesa yavo shivra. Quoting a pasuk, I think it's maybe Yeshaya. Basically, the wall is going to collapse immediately. Vishe hi svarim nisedes barov mekomas batamim. It's an argument that is undermined by many, many passages in the Gemara. And the Ramban, I've only presented a little bit of the Ramban's critique here, but the Ramban says, "Roy v'fi hadas hazeh," according to the Ramban's opinion, that every gzeira de Rabbanon, every takana de Rabbanon, every mitzvah de Rabbanon is a doraisa of los osir. According to the Ramban's opinion, it would be appropriate, lahachmir ma'od, on line 27 at the end, lahachmir ma'od v'divrei sofen, shekulam torahim. You should always be machmir, even by dinim de Rabbanon. Why? Ein b'nehem shul hefresh. There's no difference between Rabbanon and the Raisin. The ein b'torah davar chamor yosem and hashvus shel debrayhem. There's nothing more chamor that's the oraisa, more chamor than a rabbinic prohibition, let's say on Shabbos. Ela b'mukuyave krisis omisas. But lo b'chayve elavim. In other words, if you're talking about doing malacha on Shabbos, doing real malacha on Shabbos, lighting a fire, is worse than climbing a tree. That's true, because lighting a fire on Shabbos, you chayv kares, you chayv misa. Climbing a tree, you only violate an mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. The mitzvah saseh you violate is the asisa al pi hadavar asher yidu l'cha, and the mitzvah lo saseh you violate is lo saseh. So the Ramban says, violating Shabbos in any way that doesn't involve kares or misa spesin is no worse than violating a din d'rabbanan on Shabbos. Shekol d'vrayim, everything the Chachamim commanded us and everything they prohibited us from doing, lav ta'aseihim. It's both a lo saseh and an aseh. But that's what should have been. According to the Rambam, we should treat d'rabbanans like virtually all the raisins, as severe. But he says, v'raboseinu b'chol ha'talmud, on line 29, omrim hepech mizeh. Throughout Shas, it's the exact opposite. Shari heim donim kol devrei sofer lahakya. Mehem be isurim, kemosha amru sveka daraisa chlom sveka darabana lakul. We always say, this is the principle the Gemara uses throughout Shas. When you deal with a suffix that's been daraisa, you have to be machmir. Suffix darabanan, you're lenient. So, according to the Rambam, that makes no sense. Why? Because every sveka darabanan is a sveka daraisa. A suffix whether this kind of tree I'm not allowed to climb on Shabbos is a suffix of the Torah prohibition of lo saser. The suffix of whether I'm allowed to leave something on the fire before Shabbos, food that's been cooked, in a way that might violate the prohibition of shehia, well, it's a sveika de oraisa. Maybe it's a violation of lo saser. The Ode, says the Ramban, okrin divrehem tadir. The Chachamim regularly uproot their prohibitions to avoid the raisa issues. Kemosha Amru, he'd be past the tanner, he tirelo darsa kodam shiavaliyas reskila. Suppose a person forgets it's Shabbos, or maybe they knew it was Shabbos, and they took a loaf of bread and they stuck it on the inside of their oven. And if you don't do anything, it's going to bake on Shabbos, and they're going to be high of either a chatas, the carbon, if it was unintentionally forgot about Shabbos, they'll be high of kares if they did it on purpose, Now, there is an escape hatch here. If you quickly run into the oven, you take your merada, your special tool, and you scrape the bread off the side of the oven, which is a rabbinic prohibition. But if you do that before the bread bakes, you won't be mechal Shabbos. Right? Mechal Shabbos both requires doing the action and the action happening. If I put the bread in the oven and then the power cuts out and oven turns cold, doesn't bake my bread, I tried to be mechal Shabbos, but there was a fail. So let's say now I realize I put it in just again the first parak in Shabbos. I put the bread in the oven on Shabbos. And then I say, oi, it's Shabbos, what do I do? And then I think, well, I can't take it out of the oven because it's an issur d'rabbanan to be meradeh pasta natanor. It's the way they used to bake the bread and to scrape it off. But if I don't do it, it ends up baking on Shabbos, I'll violate issur d'oraisa. So halacha is, the rabbanan said, you can violate the prohibition of ridui pas, of scraping the bread off the oven wall, so as to not violate the Torah prohibition having me mechal Shabbos. Okay, and there are so many examples. I mean, that one you could say was an Isser Misa, an Isser Karis. But Amru, we give you another example. It's a case where an animal falls into a boar on Shabbos. You can't pick the animal and move it because it's Balei Chaim or Muksa on Shabbos. Animals are Muksa. But you want to put a couch pillow underneath the animal. Let it step on it so the animal is more comfortable. So now, what's the problem with doing that? The problem with doing that is that once the animal starts to stand on it, you can't move that cushion anymore. They say, well, what's the big deal? Well, there's a halacha the Gemara has of not being mevato kli mehechano. Don't ask me what the reason for this din d'rabbanan is. You're not supposed to put a kli that was usable when Shabbos entered into a position where something muksa is going to wind up on it where you can't move. It's being mevato kli mehechano. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So, Tsar Balei Chaim, the Gemara is assuming here, is d'oraisa. The animal suffering is d'oraisa, although you didn't do anything to the animal, the Ramban points out. The Gemara says you're allowed to violate the rabbinic prohibition and the Mevato Kli Mehecheno to avoid Tsar Balei Chaim. The Gemara says that Bitu Kli Mehecheno the Ramban on line 32, the Tsar Balei Chaim d'oraisa, the Asi d'oraisa, the Dachi d'Ramban, the Apa Pishata Hazeh, Lo Aso Adam Zev, Lo Garam Oso. Even though you didn't even do anything, you're not violating anything, d'oraisa. You're not inflicting pain on the animal. The animal fell on its own. You haven't violated anything of Tsar Balei Chaim d'oraisa. And nonetheless, bitul kli, haya bitul kli me'echeno, kal be'enei ma'od, m'nei she'enam min ha'Torah, v'dachu osav yadayim. You're violating nothing actively when the animal is suffering there. You are violating actively the prohibition of making this couch pillow unmovable on Shabbos now, and the Rabbanim permitted it because it's Tsar Balei Chaim. So again, the question would be, if every Issur Rabbanim is a Daraisa, they permitted you violating a Daraisa actively, being Mevato the Kli, Mehechano, in order to avoid a passive violation of Tsar Balei Chaim, which you actually didn't do anything. V'zeh Rav Ma'ud B'Talmud Lomar Aski Asei Daraisa V'dachi Mevato Asei Rabbanim, it's all over Shabbos. The machloka shebein hachamim, we learned this a very long time ago together, and I was beginning with Sechas Avodah Zarah. Whenever there's a machloka shebein hachamim, hin higuzeh, they assume that this rule of doubt only applies to be doubtful situations to be stringent applies by the racist. K'mosh amur b'gemara Avodah Zarah, echad oser v'echad matim. There's a machloka between two rabbis. It's such a thing chas v'shalom should happen. Im haya echad gadol b'chachmo v'minim, Halachachar, one of them is a big, if your rabbi is bigger than his rabbi, you follow your rabbi. But Vimla, if they're both equally great rabbis, or not great rabbis, V'da'oraisa halachachar hamachmir, u'vidrabbanan achar mikil. So now, Rabbi X says this, Rabbi Y says that. If they're arguing, you can follow the lenient one if the issue is only a potential violation of Rabbanan. If the potential violation is a Torah prohibition, you follow the more stringent one. So the Rabbanan says, what's going on here? U'gedolamita amru, Ode b'shel so from osin masiv achakachronim. If you have a pressing situation, it doesn't mean you can always do this. This should not be seen as carte blanche permission. But there's a situation of doubt whether then the rabbanon applies. You can act right now and later visit the issue whether it was mut or not, and behave appropriately henceforth. If you're not sure right now whether this is the raisa, then you don't do and then ask questions later. By the rabbanon, sometimes we say do now and ask questions later. So what do you mean? And then he quotes the Gemara we learned last week, Umetamin Kohanim Asma Mitsumashal Devrahim, Liros Malchay Umas Olam. Kohanim are allowed to defile themselves with some of the Rabbanim, a few lines earlier in our Gemara Brachos, in order to greet a non-Jewish king, so that if you should merit one day Jewish sovereignty, you'll appreciate the difference between Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. So for that, you're allowed to violate a Torah prohibition of losasur if every Rabbanim is losasur? The Rabban says this entire approach is ridiculous. Now, on line 39, I'll roll it now. Okay, 1 second. Okay, so the Ramban now says, "Ulai tisake shetoma." Perhaps you want to be stubborn and say the following: "Ledas hara for the Ramban, ki mash amru b'chol makom lahakav b'divrei sofim." The fact that we always go strict leniently by divrei sofim dinin rabbanon, who b'mechila uvetznai meitam. That's because the Chachamim said we're making this prohibition, but when we make prohibitions, we're telling you that our prohibitions only apply in indefinite situations, not in doubtful situations. They made a condition by every decree and enactment they make, their positive commandments, that we should go lenient, follow them immediately by doubtful cases and certain other cases, in order that we should recognize the difference between Doraisa and Rabbanan. And the only reason why you would say a rabbinic law can be permitted in doubtful situations, because the Chacham said that in the first place. That's what you have to say. That's ridiculous. Why the Chacham, everything they say is deraisa, why do they feel the need to now say, okay, let's take it Rabbanan Lakula? And then Ramban says, and this is how we began Shir this morning, Umafurosh Amru B'Perek Nisha Mesu, our Perek, our Gemara, Gadol Kovar Abrios, Shedokha Losase Shebetorah. Tiragema Rav Barshava Kameh de Rafkana, Delav de Losasur. That's how we explained it, to push away the proof. Achichova, they laughed at him, the Bismedish. Lav de Losasur Nami de Raisahu. It's also the Raisah. So why does that solve your problem? Wearing shatnez is a lav d'oraisa, and violating rabbinic prohibitions is a din d'oraisa. So Amar Luhu Rav Kahana, Gavar Rabba, Amar Milsom, Tachicha, don't laugh at him. Kol mine d'rabbanon, a lav d'lo sasur asnechinu. Every rabbinic prohibition, they made it asnachta on lo sasur. U'mishun kavar abriyos lo gaz v'rabbanon. And they didn't make the sakana because of kavar abriyos and in other situations as well. Harei bikan mevuar. The Ramban says it is explicitly explained here. Shelav zed the losasur hu kishar halavim shel Torah. Losasur is like every other prohibition of the Torah. Avol divreihem al zeh halav asmechinu smach bi alma lechizuk. The fact that every din the Rabbanah is losasur, that the Gemara says is asmechinu. It's just an asmachta. To strengthen, because you know what people, we sometimes talk, it's not a good thing. We say, oh, it's only Drabbanan. Now, you know, it's terrible when someone, oh, it's only Drabbanan. Yes, we know that there's a distinction between things that are Daraisa and things Drabbanan, but that doesn't mean that we should have an attitude of vittle towards things, oh, it's not to be, it's only Drabbanan. No, there are rules when you set aside Drabbanan, but that's why it was Lechizuk. Los, but lo shehi bahim in hatzora ashara klauba osala. Not that you actually violate losasur. Not that you violate losasur midaraisa when you violated in the Rabban. The Ramban undermines and attacks the Rambam's position with our Gemara right here, saying that that's wrong. That's not what losasur means. The Rabbanans are the Rabbanans. They are not the Oraisa. Losasur means something else. Saying that the Rabbanans are losasur is not smacha, which is exactly what Rav Kahana says to the laughers in the basement. Okay, so what then is losasur? Now, there's a second question to be asked as well, which the Ramban doesn't address, which I don't really know what the answer is. Okay, so Dinam D'Rabbanan are not a violation of Losasur Midaraisa. So now I ask the question, the Yeshiva high school boys question, well, Rabbi, why do I have to listen to the rabbis? I don't know. Now, so that question isn't addressed. Why do I have to, I want to correct that, too. Why do I have to listen to the rabbis when they made up things, the Rabbanim. Okay, because we have to talk about what is Lo Sasum is a Raisa, according to the Ramban. The Ramban says the following. When we come akom kale harab mishtachi, the Rambam's rules are wrong. Aval hadavar habar, this is the bold stuff on line 48. There we go. We need some artificial intelligence, like when I call out a line number, you just scroll. Umikom akom klale harab mishtachi. Aval hadavar habarur hamenuka mikol shibush, that which is clean of any error, who shenodia, we should let it be known. She'ein halav zelo saser, elibima she'amru b'feirushe ha'torah. There are two functions to Sanhedrin, to Chazal, in what we call the broader rubric of Torah Shabbat. One, what the Ramban has been discussing until now, are rabbinic enactments. Things that are not Misenai, are not from Moshe Rabbeinu, that weren't active in later generations, most of the time as a siyag, as a sense. But there's another issue, which is Lahavdil, I'll use the analogy of the Supreme Court and constitutional law. There is a document that called the Constitution, Lahavdil, from the Torah. The Supreme Court's job is when a law is passed and it is challenged to decide whether this law is dissonant or is in conflict with the constitutional principles. That's the Supreme Court's job. The Sanhedrin's job is, and the Supreme Court interprets the text of the Constitution. They have the text of the Constitution. Today, they may have precedent since the Constitution of interpretation of the Constitution. So we have the same thing, Lahavdil, in Torah. We have a Torah Shebichtav. We have some oral laws. And the Sanhedrin's job now is to interpret. A new case comes up. It's never been raised before. It doesn't fit directly into any category that we have already. It's now the Sanhedrin's job to interpret the Constitution, to understand what does this pasuk mean? Now, how do we extrapolate from this? How do we apply it to this situation? These are things that the Rambam sometimes calls Divrei Sofrim. It's the famous category of the Rambam, which is ambiguous, because sometimes Divrei Sofrim is the Rabbanan, sometimes Divrei Sofrim is the Raisa, but it may not be the Rambam, which it didn't come from Moshe Misenai. It develops later through the usage of the hermeneutical principle. So the Shlosha Esrei Midos, Shatar and Dreshes for him, the Rabbi Yishmael's in principles of interpretation. So the things that are derived with those principles are the Oraisa. They are scriptural in force. And it's the job of the Sanhedrin to engage in that interpretation. And when you come to the Sanhedrin, that's what the Torah describes. Ki falei mucha davar la mishpat. Something is concealed from you. Dam ladam, beitim ladim, menegel anega. So you go to the Sanhedrin and ask them, what is halacha here? You're not asking about Xeris the Rabbanan. You're asking about fundamental principles of Torah. How do you interpret this document, this Torah? So the Ramban says that lav lo saser, again, beginning line 49, ela b'mash amru b'peirushe ha-Torah, interpretations of the Torah. Keep going. Hadvarim hanidrashim b'Torah b'gzeirah shava. Those things that are learned through gzeirah shava. Or b'binyanav, or extrapolating. Ushar shlosh esrei midos shatorna jeshes behem. Or using any of the other 13 principles. Oh, b'mashmos l'shona kosav atmo. Just, you know, we'd say types of pasuk. What's pshat? What does this mean? Anything they had received, Misenai. If the Sanhedrin thinks that this is either mutter or asa min haTorah, lefi midrash hakasuv, either based upon the way they want to interpret the text, or lefi perusho, or according to its simple reading, midrash would be the 13 principles, or perusho is its simple reading, or halacha mipi hashmua mimosh rabbeinu, or an oral tradition. V'yirahu, or v'yirahu hefach, he thinks the opposite of the Sanhedrin, chayiv levatel dato, ulahamin mash amrim. That's where you're obligated to say, okay, I think differently, I am obligated nonetheless to obey the interpretation of the Sanhedrin. Zehu sh'amar ha'kosov, ki paleimim chadavar lamishpat, bein dom ledom, bein din ledin. Klomar, what does that mean? Shenishkasa mehem davar. Something was concealed from them. V'nechlaku b'mishpatei ha-Torah, by judgments of the Torah, that's bein din ledin. V'isureha, that's probably dam ledam. U'nigo'eha, b'nega l'nega. So that's what Lo Sasser is about. Lo Sasser is not about Gzeiros the Rabbanan, Hakanas the Rabbanan, Mitzvos Aseh the Rabbanan. Lo Sasser is about the Chazal Sanhedrin's authority of the interpretation of Scripture and transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Ramban says, va'over al divrei based in hagadol shebedoro, the somech al dato, you violate, you dismiss the Sanhedrin's approach, and you follow your own opinion, over al aseh velo saseh halom. You violate this aseh of asisa al piyad avar asheh akidu l'cha, and you violate the lo saseh of lo saser. And vafilo mechleku based in ma'atzman b'davar. Even if there was a debate on the basis, and you think one side is right, kochim bohem acharo, kemosh amru b'machlokam, as the Gemara explains in the sugya of Zakin Mamre, im shamu, if they have a received tradition, amru lahem, the Sanhedrin would say, this is what we receive from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'im lav, and if not, if there's no received tradition, and they have to develop the interpretation themselves, then om din l'minyan, then they basically discuss, and then they vote, their om din l'minyan, they take account. Rabu Hamitamim, if the majority says it's coming, Timu, Hamitamim, Tiaru, that's the way it is. Uma Shehiskimu Allah Ruba, that which a majority agrees to, Hu Hadavar Shinitzavinu Allah Minatorah. That's what the Torah commanded us in Losasa. The over Allah, the Somechadat of Sheino, Kimoshiskimu, Himasa Zakimam, Bisman Dinan Hashim. That's how you get a Zakimam. When you have someone who is actually rightly to offer an opinion, someone who is sufficiently learned, and he refuses to accept the authority of the Sanhedrin on it, not on the Gzeir of the Rabbana, on something that is a scriptural interpretation, that's where the Zakei Mamre gets the death penalty. That's a fundamental rejection of, to use an anachronism, of rabbinic authority. Right? It's not, to reject the Gzeir of the Rabbana, that's not a rejection of rabbinic authority. But the real rabbinic authority, the real authority of the Sanhedrin is in the interpretation of scripture. As I said earlier, the Ramban doesn't really provide us what the he says in the next line, Avalatakan, not next line, but line 58, Avalatakanos Mahagzeros, Shegasu Chachamim, Mishmeres HaTorah, Ulegeder Shabbat, those things that the Chachamim instituted as a protection for Torah, don't do X because you come to do, end up doing Y, which violates Torah law, Ein Lahem Balav Hazeh, El Asmach Be'alma, Ve'ein Bahem Din Hamra Aklau. It's just an Asmach Philosopher, and you don't, the person can't become a Zakin Mamre based upon that. Okay. So again, the Ramban's argument, I think, is a very powerful argument, and certainly our Gemara supports that. What we're left, the Ramban leaves us with a little bit of a gap. There's nothing I can do about that. He doesn't tell us here, why should I obey? I know why I have to obey the Chachamim when they tell me, create Sadar. The Torah says, on Sukkot, you take the fruit of a beautiful tree. So lots of beautiful trees. I have a beautiful apple tree in my backyard. But I can't take an apple. If I take an apple instead of an asro, that violates Los Osos, because I'm rejecting the rabbinic interpretation of this pasuk, the scriptural law. But if it comes the second day of Sukkot, or third day of Sukkot, whatever it is, I'm in my backyard, and I say, I don't take an apple. I just say, I don't feel like taking a Rabbanina today. It's only the Rabbanan. So that's the Ramban says. It's not a violation of Los Osos. It's an asnacht on Los Osos, but what's difficult is this is like listing yourself by your bootstraps. Normally, why do you have to listen to asnacht? By every other din in the Torah, where we say it's not really the deraisa, but it's an asnacht. They hung it on the pasuk, but that's not really the Torah's intent. We have to follow those asnachtas because we have to follow what the Chacham tell us to do. Seiros and Tachanos they make. But here, we're talking about an asnacht, which teaches you that you have to observe din and derabanan. The only problem is, that's circular. That's very nice. I have an asmachta, which means the din d'rabbanan, but how do I know that I have to observe asmachtas? So I don't know the answer to that question. But the Rambam, the answer is simple. The Rambam says, if I fail to take the lulav, an esrog on the second day of Sukkot in my backyard, the Rambam would say that I violated it. He doesn't say it explicitly, but if I said, it's only d'rabbanan, I'm not going to do it, that violates the mitzvah of the lulav. The Rambam himself might say, that if I didn't reject, this is not my suggestion, the Rama might say that it's not that I'm rejecting rabbinic authority, I'm just lazy. I could have just as well been almost as lazy on the first day of Sukkot and not benefit. For some reason, the plague of laziness hit me on the second and third day. The Rama might say that's not a violation. It might only be Los Osos if you're misalcohol because it's only the Rabbana. You treat it lightly that way. But according to the Ramban, that all demons of the Rabbana are asnacht of Los Osos, we're still left with the question, okay, but why do I have to follow asnacht if they're only the Rabbana? Okay, I don't know the answer to that question. Anyway, all of that for this one little line of the Gemara. So now the Gemara has settled that. So now the Gemara goes further. So we're back in, I'll stop the share. Okay. So we're back in the Gemara in Yud Ches Amud Beis. By the next, where we left off, Tashma, about 14 lines from the bottom of the page. Tashma, v'his alam tameha. So the Torah says the following. The Torah speaks about finding your friend's lost object, and it says, Los tir'eh, es shorachicha o es sayoni dachim, v'his alam tamehem, ashein t'shivein le'achicha. So, the simple reading of the pasuk is the following. You shouldn't see the ox or the sheep of your friend straying. Now, hisalam tamehem, the simple reading probably is, and you know, you shouldn't see them going astray and ignore them. Yeah, the tricky part in the pasuk, grammatically speaking, is that you probably would expect it to have been the following if that's the way it was formulated, which is, perhaps that would have worked better grammatically to indicate that it's all a subordinate clause. You shouldn't see that that's such happening and turn away. But instead, because it's lo sirah, and then it says v'hisalamta, it is very strange because it sounds like you should not see the ox or sheep of your friend going astray. Okay, so it's a bad thing. So my answer would be, of course, close my eyes. And you could read it. Salam Tamehim. You should turn away. What are you talking about? Avi Torah is not telling you to turn away. It's telling you to return it. Hashem Tishkim Achicha. Some, I think, want to read it as Salam Tamehim. And you'll turn away? No. Hashem Tishkim Achicha. But Chazal read it here. No. You shouldn't see the ox of your friend. Salam Tamehim. But you should look aside. Hashem Tishkim Achicha. So the Gemara says, no, in other words, sometimes you're allowed to turn the other way. Oh, that's Johnny Duck's wandering lost in the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I'm going to agree on it. Why says? The Gemara says, okay, let's say Johnny's cow was in the cemetery, and I'm a Kohen. I'm an elderly person, and it's like pastish. I see he dropped a dollar bill on the floor. You know, for me to bend down and pick that up, it's like beneath my dignity. Oh, shahaisa malachta meruba mishel chavero. Or, let's say I'm a diamond cutter, and my time is very valuable. Every minute of mine is worth $50. I'm going to take 10 minutes to return his old iPhone. It's like his old iPhone's worth $50. My time is worth $500. And the truth is, if I were to do it, he should have to pay me for my time. And you never spend more on the Aveda, since you're entitled to compensate. You're entitled to compensation. You never spend more on the Aveda than the Aveda is worth, because otherwise you have nothing to return to the owner, because you're allowed to at least collect from them. So sometimes you're just supposed to look the other way. Now, the Gemara is focused, so you might think you have to return it. You should turn away. So now, the Gemara here is concerned about the middle one. They're not concerned about malachta meruba, is a different issue. The reason why you don't return a lost object, if your time is more valuable than the lost object, is because I think they say, you should have what to return to him, but you have nothing to give back. And the reason why a Kohen is not Matan Rezakaris is not because of Kavara, it's not a Kavara Prius issue. But the Gemara is focused on, why is a zakin ve'ein l'chichodo? Why do I not have to return the lost object? After all, it's my dignity to say, yeah, but there's a mitzvah saseh to return a lost object. So what do you say? And it says, elsewhere it says, lo sukha l'hisaleh. So the Gemara says, amai lema ein chachma ve'ein tzuna ve'ein eitzel l'neged Hashem. So why don't you say that that's nothing doing here? Too bad that it's beneath your dignity to pick up and stuff. Doesn't matter. You do it anyway because in Chachma Beitzuna Meitzel Neged Hashem. God told you to do it. You forgo your dignity. So the Gemara says, "Now Shani Hasam Dichsiv Esam Tamehim." The reason why we say your dignity overrides the mitzvah there is because the Torah says V'Hisalam Tamehim. The Torah says don't do it in that case. In other words, it's not a broader meta principle coming into play here. It's actually the Torah says in this case V'Hisalam Tamehim. Sometimes you're supposed to look the other way, and the Chacham understood means it includes a case where your dignity is compromised. But then the Gemara says, the Ligmar Mine. Okay, that's very nice, but now, why don't we use this as a binyan out? Here we have a case of a mitzvah saseh, returning a mitzvah lo saseh, is not looking astray. And the Torah teaches you that because of kavod habrios, you can override those mitzvahs. Now, yes, the Torah tells it explicitly here, but this specific example becomes the rule. Like, I think we mentioned, I thought we mentioned this, maybe we mentioned, it's going to come up on the next Amud. We'll talk about it. There's a principle of Aseh Docha Lo Sasa. I'm wearing tzitzis now. I have chelas in my tzitzis. It happens to be my garment is cotton, it's wool. Let's say I wanted to wear a four-cornered linen garment. Because I don't know, I'm very fancy. I like linen garment. I put my talus on, I want linen. It's going to be the newest conspicuous consumption. Probably pretty expensive talus. Now comes, I got to put tzitzis on. Okay, great. So I figured, okay, well, I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'll take linen strings and I'll put them on my tzitzis. No problem, right? That's great. Except for this one problem. I have to put chelas on them. And I assume I know what chelas is. But there's a catch. You can't dye linen. You can, but dyeing linen with a, you know, Nerex trunculus dye is not chelas. Chelas means wool dyed with that dye. Therefore, I have to put wool on my four corners. And guess what? Congratulations. There's a knot in this that ties it together. I'm wearing shatnez. And you know what halacha is, at least Medina de Gemara? You wear shatnez. Why? Because in Parashas Ki Tzetzeh, first the Torah says, Lo silbash shatnez tamer chishtim yachad. You can't wear shatnez. The next pasuk the Torah tells you that gidilim tasalach al arba kanfos kisusach asher chasabah. You put on tzitzit. Why they put next to one another? From here, the Gemara learns a general principle that when you have a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment in the Torah, and a mitzvah lo saseh, a negative commandment in the Torah, and they come into conflict where you have to do one or the other, the starting rule is asay docha lo saseh. The asay pushes it aside. Now the Torah tells you that by the example of kilayim and shatnez, and from there you make a general inference, you make a binyan av to all other similar cases. So the Gemara asks the same question here: why not learn from this that kavod abrios, the fact that the Torah tells you that when your dignity is at stake, you don't have to return someone's lost object. You can violate hashef tishirei melachicha. You can violate lo suchal l'salayim because the Torah says l'salam tamehim. From this learn the general principle that kavod abrios overrides Torah prohibition. That was the Gemara's question. V'ligmar minei, why don't you learn from this the general principle? The Gemara answers and says, Isura mimaunonat lo yafi. We can't learn Isur from Mamon. When the Torah establishes a principle, one area, one broad area of halacha, it's not transferable to another area. Now, I want to finish here actually by explaining something about this, because I think the Gemara has a specific meaning here, something that I don't know if he said it on this Gemara, but I heard Rav Shechter talk about in general when we talk about Mitzvah Tenachem HaChavira. He quotes a Ramban in the second chapter of Bava Metzia, in his commentary on the Gemara. I've never been able to kind of nail down exactly where the line in the Ramban is. But what he quotes from Ramban is the following. That all, let me formulate it this way. Let's say there are two lost objects. There are two cows being drowned by the river. One of them, Reba, is your cow, and one of them is my cow. And I can only save one. I've only got two hands. I can only save one. Which one do I save? So the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, I save mine. Now, if your cow was like a prized cow worth $1 million and mine's worth $1,000, then I save your cow, probably, and I explicitly stipulate that you're going to give me $1,000 out of the value of that cow. But let's say they're both $1,000 cows. The answer is I save my cow. So I have a question. That doesn't make any sense. If there a mitzvah for me to return your lost object to save your property? The answer is yes. Is there a mitzvah for me to return my own lost property to myself? The answer is no. If I want to be mocha, that's great. If I want to say, bye-bye cow, you know, have a nice trip downstream, that's okay for me to do. I mean, maybe a nice thing to do, but I know mitzvah shall be made. So why is it that I take my object from I know, but sometimes I have to do a mitzvah, not what I want, right? So the, let's say Zman Kriya Shema will pass it. We're learning Maseches Brachos. It's easy to forget that these few weeks, but we're learning Maseches Brachos. Zman Kriya Shema will pass it. My cow is drowned. Do I save my cow from not being able to say Shema? Well, the truth is, it depends how much you have to spend on doing a mitzvah, right? But in this particular case, there's no mitzvah for me to save my cow. There's a cost involved. Now, the reason why I say my cow, we always say shalcha v'shalchavecha, shalcha kodman. Why? So the Ramban, Shastra quote, says that the mitzvahs of Bein Adam HaChaviro are all premised. Their foundation is v'haftal reach kamocha. But whenever you have a haftal reach kamocha, it's always chayecha kodman chayecha. It's understood. Everybody understands that my things take precedence over somebody else's, when it's certainly an equal situation. And therefore, I think what the Gemara means here, when it talks about the Zakim and the Kodon, that Mammon is unique, is if I were a Zakim, what would happen if I dropped the penny on the sidewalk? What would I do? The answer is I would say, forget it. It's beneath my dignity to pick up my penny. If I'm not going to do it for myself, I'm not obligated to do it for you. So a Zakim in Chodo is unique with, the Mammon is unique here. The fact that Kavod HaBrios overrides it is simply because the Kavod HaBrios means I wouldn't do it for myself either. And I'm not obligated to do more for you than I would do for myself. So that's unique to Dinei Mamonos. But that doesn't tell you that Kavod HaBrios could set aside something that's called Isura, something that's really a prohibition not related to things that are being Adam HaVer, not related to Dinei Mamonos, the civil law, but rather to things that are strictly speaking Isra, being Mechal Shabbos, eating something that's straight, wearing Kelayim. And those are not what we call Mamonos, those are what we call Isura. And so the Gemara says that you, just the fact that the Torah says that Kavod HaBrios sets aside my obligation in Mammon does not mean that it will set aside my my obligations when it comes to Isser. And therefore, going back to Rav's statement at the beginning of the Gemara, Hamotze Kilayim Bebigdo Poshtanafi Lebashur. If I find Kilayim in my Daged, I have to take it off even in the Shuk, because that's Isura. And we don't have an Ein Chachma, the Ein Tuna, the Ein Eitzel and Eged Hashem. It doesn't set aside, a Kavod HaBrios doesn't set aside Isurim of the Torah, and so this particular rule doesn't provide us with any evidence. Okay, next week, God willing, next week will be Tisha B'Av, but the week after that, God willing, I will at least be giving shir to the end of July. Week after that, we will pick up to try to finish the sugya. The Gemara is going to make really one last attempt, and then finally sort of settle on this issue. Rav's statement is going to remain intact. Rav's statement that Tilayim will remain intact. But the Gemara will make one more attempt, and we will, God willing, resume that in 2 weeks. Next week, there will be shir on Tisha B'Av in the main shul.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rabbi, I have a